You have a car, the child gets to ride in it.
The availability of your word. Most of all, Lord, I thank you that it's impossible for my weakness and my sin to stand in the way and to stop the flow of your word and your truth and your blessings to myself and to my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father, that you don't hold me accountable and do not reward them according to how I'm able to live this, but you reward us according to our belief in Christ Jesus and his perfection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're now in the temple, and Jesus is healing people in the temple of God. After having cleaned out the temple, we pick it up in verse 14. It says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. If you remember where we left off from the last service, Hosanna meant help, save me. I beseech you, help me. But notice it says to the Son of David, not to the Son of God. Oh, it was Jesus, all right. But they were appealing to him as a human being, called of God. If that would have said, Hosanna to the Son of God, Hosanna to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, would have excluded me and you and everyone else from ever being used by God Almighty. But they said it right. They said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the human part of Jesus Christ. And this made the scribes and the priests sore displeased. And they said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, yo. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? He said, what they're saying is absolutely perfect praise. It's perfect praise to thank God that he's healing you through somebody just like you. Somebody even worse than you, by the way. That's perfect praise according to Jesus Christ. How many people do you know that don't praise God because they absolutely refuse to learn through human instrumentality? Their preacher, their leader is the ceiling tiles, low-flying clouds, or the top of their head. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. I was very disappointed when I saw that Jesus didn't do anything in Bethany but sleep. And they went right back to Jerusalem, right back to the temple. I was looking for big things out of Bethany. I thought surely two or three messages. And then I realized we're talking here about a man. Sure, the Son of God, but still a man. Being my example and yours. Now Jesus has had day after day, and now we don't know how much time, constant tension and stress and people being upset at him. And he just took a little time off and went to Bethany. Must have had a good golf course there. But verse 18, in the morning he returned to the city. I didn't feel badly about it, but I know that sometimes people have a tendency to think that maybe I should be available every split second whenever you feel like it. Well, I leave now and then and I go to Bethany. And he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. Now we're going to get into this situation. Now understand, everybody's in the temple now. Now we're going to have to deal with the truth. There's no more physical healings. The rest of the book of Matthew, it's all spiritual from now on. The part that you hate. Now we're going to see how you really deal with the truth after everything physical you wanted to get rid of has gotten rid of. Now there's only one of two ways that this is going to end in your story or mine. Jesus is either going to triumph, the truth will either triumph, or you're going to crucify the truth. And 3 days later, you're going to wish you hadn't, because the truth is going to be staring you right in the face again. I'm going to share with you now what Jesus is trying to tell you. See if you see yourself in any of these things. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found it nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Fig tree is always an example or a metaphor for the nation of Israel, God's people, in other words. Now what Jesus is really saying here, we got all the physical things cured here. And now we're at the point where you just don't want any more fruit. You'll settle for fig leaves. He found nothing but leaves, no fruit. Now those are the same fig leaves, by the way, I believe, that Adam and Eve used to cover their shame. See, Jesus is saying here, the truth is saying, it's at the point now where everything is cleaned up and your life is where you want it to be, except you just won't bring forth fruit. You won't do anything spiritually, physically. Sure, you'll take a buck here and there. You want all the blessings of God. You want health. If you're sick, you'll come to God. If you're broke, you'll come to God. If you're lonely, you'll come to God. But when it's time for you to be used of God, for your fruit, nothing but leaves. You found nothing but leaves only. Pretty much found them in the same condition he found Adam and Eve, didn't he? Hiding with leaves only. Look what you're letting yourself in for. Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. It's going to come a time, I don't care how much you're going to want to change, you're not going to be able to. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now here's the, see, that's such a blessing, but it's also, it can be a curse. For those of you that are hiding with nothing but leaves to hide you, and you see, the leaves is always, you blame me. I'm one of your leaves. It's my fault you're the way you are. It's your wife's fault. It's your husband's fault. It's somebody's fault. So you always have leaves to cover up your wrong. And Jesus said, look, if you just believed, if you just didn't doubt, everything that you say, even if you say to the mountain, be removed, it'll move. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now that does away with all the I don't knows and I don't understand, and I'm waiting for the will of God, and one of these days, and Jesus loves me just the way I am. You liar, you. Those are leaves. And Jesus is not pulling any punches here. There's no excuse. Especially some of you that have been around a while. You've got seniority. And you're still in the same pathetic condition you were in when you came in. In fact, you're worse off now, because now you know better. Now you're covered with leaves. Look like a creature from the Black Lagoon. And when he was come into the temple, verse 23, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority, what Bible college did you go to? And who ordained you, by the way? Oh, that was such a blessing to my heart when I read this. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the God of all creation, when they could handle him no other way, and they could do nothing with what he said. They asked him, what Bible college have you been to? By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask ye one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves. Notice how immediately they don't want to talk to him anymore. Sound familiar? Saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto this, why did you not then believe him? You'd be surprised how many times I'm talking with people and say, oh, I know, if I say this, then you're going to say this. And then I say, well, go ahead and say it, and then I'll say that. See, they already know the reasoning within themselves. Same way. Oh, I know what you're going to say. And you know, and I can always tell when you're busted, see, because you start dribbling a little bit and you start getting upset and you start, because you already, the trap is set, you already bit the burrito and you see it coming already. And even if you don't say these things out loud, I know what's going on in your head. You're choking on the burrito. The trap is sprung. It's too late. There's only two things you can do, bite the burrito or leave. You not only have you had it, you've been had. Said, if we shall say from heaven, he will say in his, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we don't know. We cannot tell. What a liar. See, that's when I can always tell. When you say, well, I don't know. I don't understand. You've reasoned. You know where it's going. And you're lying just like these people do. Because you're the one that always tells me you know everything. You always have an opinion. You always have it figured out. And as soon as the trap is sprung, then you say, I don't know. Oh, I love this. See, this is so much fun. You get, see, it's like a big cat playing with a little weak, shriveled up little mouse. I could have you at will. They're just not into eating rats. They're more fun to play with. You don't have a chance here. The truth is the truth. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell, which is another, really literally from the Greek, it means we don't know. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now I'm going to share with you now how you crucify the truth or lead the truth to crucifixion. We go back to verse 23. The chief priests and the elders of the people are the problem. Chief priests and the elders are, as a rule, your parents, and the thought processes that they leave with you. That's that chief priest and elders mentality that you have. So you see, these two terms will be synonymous with your parents who taught you this and you who perpetuate it. Now, the chief priests and the elders came and said, what Bible college have you got? See, they can no longer argue with the man. They're not even saying you're wrong. They don't even want to talk about what he said. They want to know who told him to say it. Who gave him the right to say it? See, I always tell people, who gave you the right to question it? I mean, the last time I looked, this wasn't Panama or Russia. I didn't know I needed your permission. You sure as hell don't need mine to ask me. Why do I need yours to tell you? And furthermore, I didn't even volunteer it. You asked me. You fool. See, people come and ask me. Now, I could understand if I was going out knocking on doors and people say, by what authority you come here and tell me this? But see, they come and ask me and they say, by what authority are you telling me this? You asked me. That's how. But that's just too simple for most people. Okay, back to the chief priests. The chief priest means the high priest and the chief of the priests, the priests of priests. Yes. This is the one that's chief in order, time, place, or rank. In other words, your flesh. Whatever you don't like doesn't fly with the chief priests. It means the magistrate, the one who has the power and the rule. But you see, this one works hand in hand with the elders of the people. Elders means a Sanhedrist or a member of the celestial council. See, I deal with people all the time who are members of the celestial council. I suspect there's some in this room here, or I wouldn't be preaching this. Celestial. It means of the heavens, of the sky, and divine. See, their counsel comes out of the sky. It comes out of somewhere. I still don't know quite where it's at. I don't know if they look for the weather report to get there, how they do it, but it comes, celestial means out of the heavens and out of the sky. That's their counsel. Intuition, what you feel, what you want to believe, in other words. Now, celestial, one would think, would be a good word. You'd say, well, celestial counsel isn't that good. The word celestial comes from the word chintz. Chintz, C-H-I-N-T-Z. Now, I hate chintz. Do you know what chintz means? Bright sky, but it also means a bright cotton cloth with bright colors and a lot of flowery designs. I hate chintz. You don't find no chintz in my house, nowhere. I hate it. I didn't even know it was chintz. Can you see how everything, people always say, well, this is so pretty. It's I hate flower designs. And bright flower designs and fluorescent, it's bright. That's what chintz means. Bright sky with lots of patterns, lots of flowery designs. That's the kind of counsel they like. Bright skies, a lot of flowers. They like chintz counsel. Well, we got a problem with chintz, because that's where we get the word chintzy. And chintzy means sleazy quality of the chintz fabric. But it also means cheap, stingy, mean, and petty. They are members of the chintzy council. Cheap, stingy, mean, and petty. This is what the celestial council means. And basically what the Lord is saying, any time that you try to equate or try to get your knowledge out of the sky, it's got to go through your flesh. And it's going to come out mean, stingy, mean, and petty. And cheap, by the way. You know why it's cheap counsel? Because nobody had to die for it. It's free. The truth was paid. A big price was paid for you to get the truth. Jesus Christ paid a big, he gave up his life so that you could have the truth. And then he called me to give up mine. He said, no more work, no more bank, no more cars, no more fancy stuff, no more of that hotshot stuff. You give that up. I want you to do this. By the way, I'll give you that other stuff anyhow. So you see, it always takes someone who has to alter their lifestyle, because the Lord has called them to change their lifestyle and live a totally different way for you. But see, you settle for chintzy counsel. You settle for what your mama and your dad and your friends tell you. That's what you settle for. And you see, the reason that you do that is because you are of the celestial council. You really think you know. The fact that your life is in the toilet is of no concern to you. You are celestial. Got your head in the clouds and your buns in the toilet. But see, this group of people is a member of the celestial council, but they're elders of the people. Now, this word people is a little bit different than you would normally think from the Greek. It means people in generally, or people in general, but different from your own populace. In other words, not your people, just people in general. So what is this cheap, chintzy council about? Or they'll give you this cheap, chintzy council in every problem that they don't have. They're experts. See, and they have an answer for everything. But it's not of their own populace. Why? Not that their answer is necessarily wrong. It is, but that's not the reason. They think they're right. Now, they will tell you, you should do it this way. And then you say, well, how come you don't do it that way? Seems to me like your counsel's pretty cheap. Or if they do it the way, then they're alcoholics, they're drug addicts, they're mean, they're stingy, they're cheap, and their advice doesn't even work for them. It's amazing how many of you think you know better than I do, yet you don't look at our mutual circumstances to find out that I'm not in the toilet and you are. So your counsel must be chintzy. And the reason it's chintzy is the only kind of counsel that you'll accept is bright sky and flowers. Everything's fine and it's somebody else's fault. That's the only counsel you'll accept. So as a result, the only one you'll listen to is you, because you're the only one chintzy enough to give you that advice. See, it would be chintzy on my part. See, when I give you advice, when I counsel with you, it's come after hours and hours of study and years of involvement in this. And following you, by the way, and knowing about your family, knowing about your background, studying how other people in the Bible came up with the same problem and how God worked it out for them. The advice that I give you isn't chintzy. But yours, you fashion it right on the spot just to cover your own self with leaves. Fig leaves. Nothing but excuses. Chintzy advice. But it's from the sky. And it's divine and it's perfect in your sight. Now Jesus said to these chintzy counselors, and they have a nerve, by the way. See, they always take issue with the truth and with the individual that's teaching the truth. Now you need to understand there's a big difference between telling the truth and teaching the truth. I get calls from men all the time complaining that their wives won't listen to the truth. I'm telling her the truth and she just won't listen. Maybe you ought to try teaching her the truth. Big difference. This word teaching comes from the Greek and the English, by the way. The definition is the same. It means to show by demonstration. Let's say that again. It's very important. To show by demonstrating. See, the chintzy counselors never take issue unless you can demonstrate what you're teaching. I can remember when I used to sit in this church with nothing, and everybody thought I was an angel from heaven. Isn't that man something? Why, he just sits there and studies his little heart out. Oh, and he doesn't have a penny to his name. And he just sits there and just loving the Lord. And oh, what a man. Isn't he marvelous? Yeah, right. But I didn't have a nickel or a window or a pot or any of the other stuff. And everybody loved me. They'd come from far and wide to see this guru guy that used to sit here with nothing, just studying all day. Well, this is unusual. Well, what does he do? Just to studies all day long. Well, how does he survive? God provides. Oh, isn't that amazing? Marvy, wonderful. And I thought, man, this is groovy. This is, I always knew people loved preachers. Well, one day, when I start demonstrating what I believed, when my circumstances start changing, and material goods start coming, and my word, what I said had power and authority, and people were changing, and they were starting to see, not just hear, it became doctrines of devils. And they said, who the hell, what Bible college have you been to? I don't understand. I don't agree with you. What happened? Start demonstrating it. You see, the problem that you have, my friend, is that you're so all fired, concerned, and you think you have got it because you've had it here and you can say it. Well, see, that just in and out, in one hole and out the other one. You got spiritual diarrhea. You can't show one thing of what you believe. Not one thing. You came in a fool, you're still a fool. You came in a slave to this or that, you're still a slave to this or that. You came in angry and mean and critical and pathetic, and you're still angry and mean and critical and pathetic. You came in timid and stupid and wanting to be popular with everybody, and you're still the same way. Oh, I'm not talking about the areas you've changed. Don't throw that one on me, because you have. I'm talking about those areas where you're still wearing leaves. Those areas where you still can't demonstrate. So you talk about it a lot. An awful lot. A real awful lot. For the simple reason that you can't show anything. Now, you know what area I'm talking about. Because in each one of your lives, it's different. And I've got one in mind, by the way. At least one. And therein lies the difficulty. Jesus is saying, see, you take to task the teaching of the truth. And if you can't show and can't demonstrate what you believe, then it's no good to you. You don't believe it, because Jesus said if you believed it, it would happen. All you do is you let it in your ears and out your mouth, and you think now you know it. But you don't, because you cannot demonstrate it. Now these elders are always upset at the individual that can demonstrate the truth. They said, by what authority doest thou these things? The word authority doesn't mean some individual. It means by what ability? By what influence? By what power? By what right do you do these things? The word authority from the Greek also means the following. It means it is right because it's being done out in public. Now that'll tell you something right there. If whatever the problem is that you have in your life, you can't do it right here in public, it isn't right. That's why you have leaves. And by the way, they said, who gave thee this authority? See, your parents always take me to task that way. And listen to what they're saying. Remember, they're saying to Jesus, he healed in the temple. What they're saying is, by what authority do you heal them? And who gave you the right to heal my children? It took me a lot of years to make him the jerk he is. Now you went and screwed it all up. He used to run to me after every marriage, after every girlfriend. He can't handle anything. He always ran to me. Now you screwed it up for me. By what authority do you heal him? You see what your parents are doing to you? And then you turn around and do the same thing. By what authority did you heal him? I tell you, I had one lady did that to me once. She'll never do it again. When I use the term lady, I use the term loosely. But if anyone want to know, and when this tape goes out, fair warning. I told her, she says, by what authority do you do that? I said, ma'am, by what authority did you make your son an alcoholic and a drug addict? By what power, what authority did you use to do that? Oh, my God in heaven. You mean to think that I did? I says, well, I sure as hell didn't. I didn't even know him. Now, I want to know, by what authority did you make him a drug addict? Well, it wasn't. Wait a minute. I don't understand that. Back up a little bit. I'll tell you by what authority I healed him. I tell you by what authority I speak, but I want you, I'll tell you when you tell me by what authority you made him the ass that he is. Well, I didn't do that. I said, wait a minute, man. Let me see if I understand this. He was with you for 18 years of his life, every day, under your teaching, and he didn't learn any of these things from you. He's been coming to this church for 6 months, and he comes and listens 4 hours a week, and you're blaming me for everything. Now, I'd like to know, what is the logic of man? How in the hell are you figuring that? She says, well, you sure are opinionated, aren't you? What does that have to do with it? Are you going to answer the question, by what authority did you make him ill? By what authority did you do that? Well, of course, you know, she said, I don't know what you're talking about. Just like these men. Because, see, she had to reason in her mind, if I say I did it by the authority of God, I say, well, what God are you talking about that taught him how to be a drug addict? So they can't say that. They can't say by the authority of the devil. I say, why in the world did you do that? Look what it's done. And who else are they going to blame? So what did she say? Just like these. I don't know what you're talking about. Willis, you tell me by what authority did you make them ill, and who gave you that authority, and then I'll tell you by what authority I heal. Now, I understand that you know what that means in terms of talking to your parents or someone other than yourself. But let's talk about you for a while now. In verse 25, Jesus said, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? They reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto this, why did you not then believe him? But if we will say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. Now I ask you, Matthew 21:21. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, is that from heaven, or where is that from? Is this from heaven? Then why don't you believe it? You're not so quick to answer the second time, are you? If this is from heaven, then why don't you believe it? If this is from heaven, then why don't you do it? See, you're lying just like they are. And I'm not here to make you a liar. You beat me to the punch on that. I didn't make you the liar. I'm exposing the lie. If this is from heaven, then why don't you believe it? And don't tell me you believe it because you don't do it. All you give me is excuses and fig leaves. And why did you? Because you reason within yourself and you say, well, If we say it's from heaven, then he'll say, well, then why don't you believe it? But if we say, well, that's just your opinion, that's just for men, then you got a problem because you fear the people. You don't want to be exposed. Why, you want to be Mr. and Mrs. Christian Doodad. Why, you love the Lord. So see, you don't want to tell the truth because you fear exposure one among the other. So what do? You give me the perpetual, I don't know. I don't understand. Now remember what Jesus said. He said, what about this baptism of John? Is it from heaven or where is it from? You all said it's from heaven. Turn to Matthew 3:1 and let's see. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Think again, think differently, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, you have to ask yourself a question. Why are you here tonight? What are you doing here? Now, if you're here to repent, then let's start repenting. Or are you here with your chintzy long johns and your shorts or whatever, that chintzy, flowery, loud, designed, call a lot of attention to yourself fabric? Or are you here to repent? Why are you here? Get in out of the rain? Is the Bible true? Then why don't you believe it? Oh, I do. Then why don't you change? I don't know. You see how you've been imprinted? You see that even the fact that you think that you're against the teachings that you receive, you are subtly still perpetuating them. And without even understanding or realizing it, by the way, and that's sad enough. You see, Jesus is not pulling any punches here. What he's saying is, look, I'm only going to put up with so many fig leaves here. And then there's going to come a time you're not going to be able to change. You're not going to be able to do it no matter how much you try. Or you'll still end up in heaven. Don't misunderstand. There'll just come a time that there won't be enough time. You will be, Jesus will say unto you, from henceforth, no more fruit. Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Now Jesus did that for a specific purpose. He wanted you to see the power of God, and he sacrificed a fig tree just so they could see this works. He could have used it. There was a lot of people there that deserved to be withered away. A lot of people here, we all deserve it. I thank God he zapped the fig tree. And then he turned around, he says, I did this for two reasons. If you have faith and doubt not, you shall do the same thing. But not just a fig tree. He said, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. I don't care what the problem is. It could be as big as a mountain. He said he'd move it. He also said, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Well, it's hypocrisy time. Because here pretty quick we're going to have prayer requests again. And if I had a nickel for every time you've asked for the same thing, I could take a free vacation. Well, you asked in prayer. It's a prayer request, but you obviously didn't believe it, and you obviously didn't do it in faith because you're still asking. I'm going to tell you something. I mentioned some time ago about wanting a trip to Hawaii. And that's it. I just said I want one. a couple days ago, I was notified by mail that I have won a trip to Hawaii. A week at Waikiki. Hotel, food, airfare. Round trip. Don't get your hopes up. Round trip. For two. Now, it does have a slight little catch to it. 7 and 8 A week at Waikiki. $250 worth of free meals during the week. $100 and some room free. But they threw a hooker in there. I have to pay for airfare for one. Tough. But you see, the point that I'm trying to make is that there's nothing too small for prayer. Now, if there's nothing too small for prayer, then there's nothing too big for prayer. Well, then I ask you, why are you still fooling with the same mess? You got more fig leaves than you could wear in a month of Sundays. You know that? See, God came looking for him, and they said, Adam, where are you? Oh, he was afraid. They had sewn fig leaves together to cover their shame. And here we have an example of a fig tree that should be bearing some fruit by now. Man, you've been at this a long time. I've been watering you for a long time, been cultivating around you, weeding you for a long time. Throwing a lot of fertilizer on you, too. Some of you still come up with nothing but leaves. Excuses. You know, and your excuses are getting bigger. You know why? Because your problems are getting bigger. They're getting worse. But you don't see that. Your ability to lie to yourself and to come up with bigger leaves, chintzy leaves with flower designs, has grown. Now I ask you, if you've become a bigger liar, and your lies are more pervasive in your life now, and your circumstances are worse, by whose authority did you do that? Now you ask yourself, now there's a lot of people in here that are better off now than when you came in. There's some of you that are worse off. You have less now than when you first walked in that door. You've been listening to some chintzy advice. And I'm asking you, son, as bad as you were when you started, you've become worse. By whose authority have you done that? You know as well as I do by whose. Then why are you lying about it? Why are you covering up for that individual? Maybe you're waiting for the day when you will be able to produce no fruit. And then that's the day you'll be able to legitimately say, Reuben, and that's the day I'll tell you, I know, too bad, but you really can't. But you could have. But you chose to use the authority of the devil, which really has no authority. You used your authority. You let him use your authority against you. While you look at me and say, by what authority? Whose authority do I need to loan you money? Whose authority do I need to stay up all night with you when you want to talk? Whose permission do I need to spend half of my life studying on your behalf? I'm screwed up, I'll give you that, but it doesn't, I wouldn't have to look into this thing 12 hours a day just for myself. Give me some credit, will you? I could have a few hours off. It's for you. But you're chintzy. You won't give me the time of day. You're too busy putting flower designs on yourself with your fig leaves. And that doesn't bother me, except that you're on the verge of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these people, we're getting very close now. Another chapter or two, they're going to have him on the cross, just like you do. I'm just trying to tell you how you do it. You start out when we push comes to shove, and we get to that point in the road where you have to decide, are you going to believe the truth, or are you going to be looking for some chintzy advice, some cheap advice that nobody paid anything for? Most of all, you. You just make up your excuses right on the spot. You're getting good at it. Instant excuses. Add water and stir. Instant buds, bud. But just remember, Jesus is asking. And he's telling you very importantly now. He says, look, you got to tell me the truth, or I'm not going to tell you the truth. This is what this bottom line is. See, I'm asking you, how in the hell did you do that to your life? And you keep blaming other people. And Jesus said, I am not going to tell you by what authority I do if you don't tell me by what authority you did. It's confession time. See, some of you want to, you even blame people you didn't even, you were a jerk before you met the people you're blaming now. I mean, you guys weren't married from the cradle. How can a husband blame a wife and vice versa when you were a bigger jerk, or as big a jerk as you are now, before you even met her or him? And the same is true of your kids. How can you blame the kids? I mean, you've been in this condition for long before they ever came on the scene. Man, you got quite a wardrobe of fig leaves there, you know that? Double-breasted, pinstripe, cutoffs, Levi figs, design using now to cover your condition now. Think of the fig leaves you used before, but the condition was still the same. You see, you're a big liar. You're crucifying, you're getting ready to crucify the truth. I'm going to tell you something about that without getting ahead of the message. Jesus is appealing to you now as Savior and as friend and healer and physician. After they crucified him, he's coming back as judge. It's going to be too late to say, Lord, Lord, then. See, the people that elected to crucify him, it was too late. See, when you meet him after you're dead, it's too late. And let me tell you something else as far as your personal life is concerned. Your soul is saved. You're going to heaven. There's no question about that. But if you crucify the truth in your marriage, your personal relationships, in your health, in your work, whatever you do, you crucify the truth. In 3 days, it'll come back to judge you. And it'll come back as, he'll come back as your judge. And it'll be too late then to say to your boss, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. It'll be too late then to say to the judge, no, I don't think I really want a divorce. Yeah, but you beat the hell out of her. Or she beat the hell out of him. It'll be too late then. It'll be too late then. It's judge time then. And what do? They just split the whole thing. They split the fig leaves, don't they? Someone gets a and someone gets an egg, don't they? Yeah. You make up the rest of that one. I suspect that some of you are very close to this, because I've not had a desire or even an inclination, and it just, there's been, not been a lot of humor in this one. Not had a desire to just kind of just make it a little bit light and take the pressure off. I don't know why. Maybe because some of you are about out of fig leaves. I don't know. I hope not. But you know where you're at. Maybe it's time to do something about it. Brother Duane, would you close the service in prayer?